Home Slice Audio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Whiskey at Work. It's Rob. It's Mark. And joining us today. I'm trying to remember the last time. I don't think ever. We have had anybody offer to bring us something as unique as what's sitting in front of us right now.
Well, now you've just offended everybody. No, because that
doesn't mean to be offensive to anybody. But by very definition is an incredibly unique bottle of whiskey because there's only 1,200 of these in existence. And
is it in existence or do they come out per year or is it?
It's per year, but still, okay. there's only 1,200. And the person I get to thank for this is Tomas from Caesar Spirits right here in Rapid City. It's nice to meet you, first of all, Tomas. It's been fun having a conversation.
Oh, yeah. You send me to get the booze all the time. That's how it works.
So first off, Tomas, for people that may not know who you are or a little bit about you, where are you from originally?
Davenport, Iowa.
Really? Yep. So what?
So this is a hell of an upgrade for you then.
I don't know. Yeah, you cut out about 230,000 people though out of the mix too.
Well,
really?
Yeah, but you know, you've cut down the humidity and increased the elevation. I mean,
yeah, you're not lying. It's so humid back home. Oh my God, the summers are terrible.
What brought you up here?
The liquor store.
Just purely the liquor store.
Yep.
No other, no outdoor activities, no family, no love interest, just liquor.
Just the liquor.
God, I can respect that.
So how did you start? Did you start Caesar's or did you buy it from somebody? I mean, it's...
No, so it's a long story. Mike Littlefield, shout out to him, he's a great guy. He owns all the Little Caesars in Rapid City and several others. My brother works for him, he's his operations manager, and he knows me from, because he was my general manager when I was 16 at Little Caesars working.
Oh, right.
And he's like, hey, your brother, would he be interested in running a liquor store? Because the lacrosse location,
yeah,
they had a casino next to it. It closed down, and they had a liquor license. So he's like, hey, this would be perfect for a liquor store.
And
reached out to me.
Okay, and then you said yes, I'll do it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll leave the humid Davenport, Iowa, to come up to run a liquor store.
Yeah, because he gave me an offer I couldn't refuse. I was like, yeah, I got to do it, man. Because at the time I was working on getting in the local 150 operations engineers.
Mm-hmm.
That union.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, here's what I can do for you, this and this, and if you come out for me, you know, I'll take care of you. I was like, all right, yeah, I'll do it.
That sounds way better than all the manual labor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great union, but I was like, yeah, I couldn't pass this up.
So, obviously, the name Caesar Spirits then is tied in to, it is an offshoot of the Little Caesars name then, correct?
Correct, yeah.
How does that work with, like, franchising and stuff? Is it, can you get in trouble for that?
So, they don't have a hyphen on their Caesars, or not a hyphen, apostrophe.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yep, it's an apostrophe.
Well, I don't think you can.
Well, they can't trademark the name Caesars,
Caesar,
no.
I mean,
but that's interesting that it's just because you throw the apostrophe in there, that's all it takes. So did you have any experience running a store like that? I mean, or anything?
Zero.
So no. you learned like on the fly with a brand new liquor store.
Absolutely, yeah. It was intimidating at first, but... I've learned a lot the past 2 years. So,
well, you guys have turned that into a really awesome little store with, you know, the selection. You don't think about it from the outside.
No.
But the bottle selection in there is fabulous.
It's almost when you pull up and you open the door, it's like a magical, because it's huge.
If you can find out which door you're supposed to go in. The one to the left. No, it's too far. This is the exit only door.
Yeah, we have too many doors.
So, I mean, starting something like this with really zero experience, did you have knowledge? I mean, do you have favorites of whiskey or tequila or beer or, I mean, how?
I'm going to be honest, I hardly ever drank. Like, ever. I was maybe a beer, like, Blue Moon guy.
Yeah.
tequila, like Patron or Don Julio shots when I went to the bar.
Your habit just got a lot more expensive.
Yeah, it did. Oh my God. It did.
So you weren't really a whiskey guy when you started this. So how did that kind of journey begin for you then? Like, what did you first start getting into?
I'm trying to think what was the first bottle I ever bought. I think it was I want to say it was an Oak and Eden.
Okay.
Oak and Eden. And then, one of the, I think, actually Timmins, their Eagle Rare pick from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Me and my manager got a bottle each, and I fell in love with that bottle. That's still to this day, it's one of my favorite bottles. Dan from Timmins. He did a good pick on that.
They nailed it with that one, for sure.
That's an awesome pick, yeah.
So then you just kind of grew from there with what you wanted to drink and trying new things and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, pretty much. I just ventured into new whiskeys. I started off lower proof, and then I got into barrel proofs, and that's almost like all I drink. I think I've ruined myself now. That's all I drink is just higher proofs and cash drinks.
Well, God, I can see with this.
Considering where this one's at, yeah.
So you're, what was I just about to ask you here? Before we start talking about higher proofs, and I take a smell of this. I don't want to tell anybody what I'm drinking yet. I'm going to save that for the second half, because this is just, good Lord, this is unbelievable.
Well, before I got here, you guys tapped into the company distilling. How would you get, what'd you think of that?
We did, yeah. I mean, well, again, this is at, what is this, at 100?
It's not barrel proof, but it's up there.
It's 120.
That's 120. It's up there.
It's it might be barrel proof then. Oh, that is the barrel proof bottle then, I bet.
Yeah, that's the one that I grabbed for him. That's the barrel proof. When it's 60%, that means barrel proof right there.
It's a good bottle. I enjoyed it.
How do you get? You know, everybody asks the question about allocation, right? And how you get certain bottles and how many bottles you get. Is that is there any secret to that process for you guys? How do you get the bottles that everybody's kind of seeking?
It's all about case sales, really. Each distributor does a little different, but say for this, like Sazerac products, they go by case sales. It's strictly their products, how many cases you're selling a year, and
so it's a numbers game, just straight across the board. Then
yeah, most likely, absolutely.
Yeah, yep. Volume.
Right. So what do you sell the most of from then? I was joking when I said Fireball earlier when we were talking, but that's probably pretty accurate, isn't it?
It's up. Yeah, that and the 99s. We sell those like crazy.
No kidding. That's still a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we got our little 99 stations, like the little 50 mil and 100 mil stations next to the register, so people just pick it all day.
And that's all Sazerac too?
Yeah, that's Sazerac. Oh, you wouldn't believe how many products they have. They have a bunch, dozens of products.
Yeah, they've got hundreds of SKUs, yeah.
Rich and Rare, you know, 10 High, bunch of stuff.
So do you constantly get people that are in the bourbon world that are like, hey, getting these bottles in, why don't you... going to set one aside over here, or how do you
get one of those messages from in here in a couple days?
How do you kind of fairly distribute that? Do you have a system, or do you like to put it on the shelves and just and see? Or
so I like to save them up. Well, last year I did like the monthly drops whenever we got our Sazerac allocations. I just released them, and I saved the really good ones for the end of the year. This year I've saved everything so far that we've got. I'm probably going to do something, I want to say, around a Memorial Day weekend, like a big just drop and just drop everything in.
Really?
Don't tell anybody so everybody else goes on vacation.
It's not like we're on a microphone right now telling.
It might be the weekend before.
Everyone in Dakota Whiskey Territory is canceling the Memorial Day plans.
Yeah, no kidding. They'll all be out here for sure. But it must be, do you, and I don't want you to call anybody out or anything, but do you get certain people that come in that you're just like, look, if you would spend more money with me, all right, maybe I'd put some of this aside. But I mean, does that play into anything for you?
I don't want to be that guy, right. Really, but there are some people that show us a lot of love.
Yeah.
And I do, here and there, I'll take care of them once in a while, but I try to be fair. I don't want to just hold back balls for certain people.
Right.
I like to be fair.
Well, that's good, and I think that's what makes...
That's good? What the hell?
Well, it is. I mean, because you want people...
Well, it's fair to everybody else, but it sucks for us.
But that's the thing with, we've talked about this so many times before about how this allocated you know, it's I don't know. It gets frustrating to a point where you don't even like to hunt, really, because you know the same people always get them. And I guess, you know, some of them might grind for it, though, and I can probably appreciate that.
Those dedicated souls that are up at 3 o'clock in the morning standing in line, they can have it. I'm not doing that.
Right, and I get
That's
it.
That's ridiculous.
But I think that makes us, you know, search out other things, try other things. And you guys have a selection where... I've been amazed. I couldn't find anywhere in town a bottle of the Driftless Glen, and I walked into your store and there was like three bottles sitting right there. I'm like, I haven't been able to find this anywhere. So I think it's worth going to different liquor stores around town, obviously, to try to find it, because it's not all the same, is it? You guys.
Well, and it was the barrel. What is your Brazilian wood thing?
Ambarana. The Ambarana from Barrel. Yeah. You also had that one too, which was really hard to find. Which I love. I still can't get anybody else to like it. I don't get it. That's an amazing whiskey.
Really? No one likes that?
No.
I love Ambarana finishes.
Thank you.
They're so good.
All right. Finally. God.
I have a Nulu bottle and a Starlight bottle of Ambarana finishes. They're so good.
Yeah. I love that. It has that cinnamon. They'll have that cinnamon toast crunch to them that I absolutely love. But I'm glad you don't.
You probably get up and have cinnamon toast crunch in the morning.
Yeah, it's not a lie. Very true, honestly. All right. Well, what I want to do, Tomas, is I want to talk about what we're drinking here in just a second. We'll take a quick break because I'm so thankful that you brought this up. I'm so happy that I get to experience something like this because very few people get to. And right. I can't. Aside from that Macallan 30 we had at Whiskey Fest, or God, even that Macallan 25 Justin had down at Windsor, I can't remember ever having a bottle of something like this. I mean, this is time for me.
You'd have to go, I mean, if you start counting like the 73 Jack.
Sure, there we
go.
Some
of those where, you know, chances are most of those are...
You'll never be able to get one, right.
As far as new... whiskey,
this is the top of the list. All right, we're going to talk about this coming up.
Hi, I'm Mark Houston, the host of Doc Talk with Monument Health.
I tell people every organ in your body that has a blood vessel is affected by cardiovascular disease, by definition.
The average prostate in a young man in his 20s is about the size of a walnut, and it can grow to the size of a softball.
He always tells the patient when we're together, he's like, I'm the kind of doctor that you want to see so you don't see my wife. So I really don't want our path to cross in the clinic.
Doc Talk from Monument Health. Wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. It's Whiskey at Work with Rob and Mark and Tomas from Caesar Spirits. Thanks again for joining us, Tomas.
You better hurry up and try it or I'm going to drink yours.
I want to know, okay, so I'm still not going to tell anybody what we're drinking yet. How did you hook up with Rob in order to bring this up here? What happened? And I'm half mad, honestly, because... Again, Rob just shows up in places and magical things happen for him. So how did this all come about?
So he came in the store one day, and I recognized him because DWT, and obviously I've listened to a couple of guys' podcasts before.
Oh, yeah, cool. Thank you.
Yep. And I was like, hey, we were talking for a little bit. And then later that day, I had messaged him on Facebook and asked him if he wanted to review the Mr. Sam. And obviously he said,
Rob's motto is always say
always
yes.
Always say yes. Yep. I think it was just not too awful long ago. Was that when I was in there getting that crown?
Yeah, it was a crown black where you came in. And
how long did you have that in the stores before it was gone?
27 minutes.
It's 2 hours maybe.
How much did you get? Do you remember?
Only two cases, yeah.
So how much were in a case? Six?
No, 12.
12 in a case?
Yeah, so
and they were gone in 2 hours?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I should have gone out the door and went back around and grabbed another one.
I don't care. I like it. It's good.
I sold one before we even got out the truck, pretty much. Like, I literally brought it in the store and some guy, hey, do you got this Crown Black Bear? I'm like, yeah.
Didn't even have a chance
open,
to check.
Cracked open the case and gave him a bottle. Like,
God, that's awesome.
Ridiculous.
All right. Well, what we're drinking right here is some of you, I don't know who would know the name of Sam Bronfman. But if you do,
it's a good thing they didn't name this Mr. Bronfman.
Mr. Bronfman. Well, it's all Canadian. In Canada, they have like Banff. How do you say that?
Just like that.
Right. That's kind of how this goes. He was a Canadian businessman who came
how
to
do
have
you say businessman
who came to have ownership of Seagram's, which was one time the largest and easily the most successful distilled spirits company in the world early on. I mean, God, that's going to be hard to say. Mr. Sam brought I mean, Crown Royal, he was a big part of that. Seagram's, obviously. So in order to honor this guy, they created Sazerac's, created this. Well, I don't know if Sazerac did, but the Seagram's, whoever that is now, created this, right? What was the guy's name? I got it here. Hold on. So the guy that created this blend was Sazerac's master blender, Drew Mayville, who...
That's what you were searching for.
His career included a 22-year stint at Seagram's, where he was the fourth and last master blender under the Seagram dynasty. That's what I was searching for before we had to stop. Yeah. So this is a blend of American and Canadian whiskey, because it's kind of to show the connection between the two countries.
Well, yeah, because Seagram's now is based here, correct?
Yes. Sazerac owns 15 former Seagram's brands, including the Seagram's VO, the Seagram's 5-Star, the Seagram's 83, and then they still have a distillery in Montreal. So they brought
Is the Seagram 7 under that whole deal?
I would assume it is. They just didn't have it on the list
VO
here.
The VO is just a kind of a step up from the 7, right?
Right.
I don't think it is, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I don't believe it is.
I haven't had a Seagram's.
Or is that a Diageo?
It's Diageo.
Diageo.
Yeah, okay.
It's
Diageo. Well, there's only 1,200 of these bottles that are produced every year. That's it.
We get to be part of it.
They go on the secondary market for upwards of $3,000 to $5,000.
Ouch.
Easily.
My liver loves you,
So Tomas brought in this 133.8 proof.
How are maple, you doing there, by the way?
Maple syrup-looking whiskey.
I know. It's awesome.
It is. It's a very, very simple bottle. Just a very square, simple. There's nothing on it other than Tribute Whiskey, Mr. Sam.
It actually looks like a smaller version of that company barrel or bottle.
A little bit. Yeah, but it's beautiful. And it is
awesome, yeah.
And it comes in a box with a book that was written by Sam Bromfman that's called From Little Acorns. And the whole book is about the journey, right, of whiskey, I believe. If I remember reading the Cliff Notes on that, right? I'm going to sit here and read the whole thing to you.
It's story time on you Whiskey
guys,
at Work.
You guys have been drinking it. Obviously, Tomas, you've had it.
Yep.
And you said you like these higher... Well, this has to be... I mean, how do you blend? This will be probably a dumb question, but what would have to go in? Canadian whiskey doesn't get this hot in general.
Generally, I don't think they will bottle it anywhere near this proof.
Right. So all of the heat from this has to come from the American side of things, doesn't it? You would think.
The Canadian's still going to be in the barrel at that proof. They just bring it down to... You know,
they don't bring it down very far.
Not fire starter levels, but I bet the influence on the heat and the proof on this is certainly an American deal.
And I think this has only been coming out since 2019, so it's relatively new in that sense as well. But again, only 1,200 bottles of this a year times what five? That's what 7,000 bottles of this is all that exist. Right now, anywhere in the world at the moment.
And right now, there's a bunch of guys out there going, $3,000 to $5,000.
We got guys that pay $1,000 for what's left in this right now, I bet.
Probably.
All right, so what do you like about it, Tomas, the most?
Man, hold on. The nose is amazing. The finish, the viscosity of it. I just, what's not to like, really? I mean.
It does have that oily...
Boy, there's a thickness to that, isn't there?
That oily coating of your mouth that stays with you for a while.
Yeah, you can see it in glass, too.
Wow. The legs on it are ridiculous. Yep. I don't think I've ever had anything that... just ride with me here. Anything that filmy in my mouth, right? That oily. And it doesn't... It's got a little pop, a little heat on the tongue right away, but that... On 133.8 proof, the swallow on that you would think would kind of sting a little, it hurt a little. It is such a gradual, warm swallow. Isn't it though?
I'm just watching you.
But I'm just I'm still experiencing it. That's right. I'm still, even after that sip I took, it is like syrup going down your throat, but in just the best way.
Did I see there's a maple finish on it too, or did I just get that from you thinking it was a maple syrup bottle?
From that, probably the last part of that for sure.
You get a decent amount of that Canadian rye taste out of it.
Yeah,
I mean, but in that non-offensive rye way, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's got a little of that pepper and spice to it, but not a ton, which I would think would, you know, generally would turn me off, but that is not the case here.
Boy, you'd almost want to prepare for this, though, by taking a sip of something that's 80 to 90 proof.
Well,
just to get your tongue ready to go.
Or 120.
Or another, we'll go from 133 to 120. That's how we'll prepare ourselves.
This is an amazing pour.
Absolutely. Yep.
I've never had anything like it.
I want to say there's a high-aged Canadian rye in here. There's got to be.
Yeah, because you get it for sure, but you still get that smoothness that's Canadian whiskey. I would love to know what they're blending it with on the American side. I mean, I can't pull anything out of there that's familiar.
They haven't given any sort of details on this at all, though, have they?
The rumor is it's BTAC level barrels that they blend in from Buffalo Trace and whatever else they distill the source it from. I've heard maybe Barton's as well. I'm not 100% sure. Obviously, it's all rumors.
Yeah, there's some internet wizard that's.
Yeah,
that's, I'm sure, ciphered it out. But
everything about that, from the nose, which again, 133.8, you'd think it'd be nothing but alcohol when you smelled it. Almost none of that existed on that pour. But from your lips, there's that kind of sweet, I don't even really know how to describe what that is. But when it hits your tongue and there's that, just that, it's like we had a hot tamale. That, and then you swallow it down, and that burn is luxurious. Okay, I don't know how else to describe it.
You hear the Tennessee hug and the Kentucky hug and the what? This is a hugger.
this is a grizzly bear Canadian
because it does kind of reach every crevice.
Oh,
in your
boy.
Palate. I mean, from the top of the mouth to the tongue to the.
I had
and
read,
it, and it affects it all the way down. All the way down.
All the way. I feel bad.
In a good way. I'm not sure I can take another sip of this way. This is awesome.
Because there's going to be so many people that aren't going to get to try this after we've talked about it and raved this much. You've obviously shared this with a number of people.
Yeah.
Does everybody kind of say the same thing when they drink it?
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody loves it. It's top tier whiskey. You can't really. I mean, it's hard to get better.
Right. It really is. I don't know if I've ever said that about a Canadian whiskey. We've had good Canadian whiskey.
Sure.
We've had the Windsor, or not the Windsor, but
Wisers.
The Wisers 18, which is really good. Even the Caribou Crossing.
Crossing, yeah.
Another good one, too.
Canadian Blantons.
Is that what they? Oh yeah, that's yeah. What that is. What they call it because it has. What does it have on there? Like a deer or? A... Shut up! I was stupid about it. I know. It's a callback. Okay. wow, Tomas, this is unbelievable, man. You obviously did not need to do this at all, but man, I'm not going to forget this pour ever because I may never get another pour sure.
It might be sticking with you a while.
I'm totally fine with that. Boy, this is just the perfect fall outdoor campfire. I don't know how you could top it.
That's kind of what I was thinking just a few minutes ago to myself, was sitting out in the snow as the snow's coming down out by a campfire, and you're hanging out with your buddies, and it's just, you know, one of those calm winter nights where it's just, you know, big fat flakes are coming down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this would be the definition of that sort of whiskey.
Absolutely.
It's perfect. Even reviews that I've read online, people say that it is probably, as far as blended whiskeys go, they've said that they've never had anything better. It constantly gets 10 out of 10s, and all these people that, you know more about it than we do, from the people, the very small sample of people that have ever been able to try it. Yeah, I don't know how you could give it anything less than that. It's just...
I don't want to have any hate mail on our Facebook page because of it.
just you know, if you know us, just be happy that you know us, that you know a couple of guys that were able to drink this, all right? You know those guys now.
If you hurry and you come up to the office right now, right. I'll burp in your face.
I'll let you smell it. Well, Tomas, you've got a killer liquor store over there. Yeah, and I think you're doing it the right way. I would encourage anybody to go in and check it out if you haven't. You're just there on the cross street. You're right next to the Native American Hospital there, if the Little Caesars Strip Mall across from Plating and Sports. I'm just kind of trying to narrow it down, and there's a Little Caesars right there, too.
Grab a couple of bottles and a pie.
Yeah, and you'll be good to go, man. So thank you for coming in and sharing this, Tomas.
Absolutely.
You know, at any time we can, I don't know how we can top this in return, but we'll try at some point. All right.
No, nothing returned. No, you're good.
Thank you, man. This is awesome. We really appreciate you coming in.
You'll have twos of people listening to our podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Whiskey at Work. I am the producer and host, Mark Houston, along with Rob Henry. Our shows are engineered by Chris Jaquist, and the video and audio editing is done by our own Russ Haddon. If you like what you hear, we would love a 5-star review wherever you rate your podcast, and leave us a comment as well. It's Whiskey at Work on the Home Slice Audio Network.